of the Heidelberg Catechism. There we ask and answer, what is the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread. That is, provide us with all our bodily needs, so that we may acknowledge that you are the only fountain of all good, and that our care and labor and also your gifts cannot do us any good without your blessing. Grant, therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it only in you. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, this afternoon we will pay special attention to the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. It is the fourth petition. First things first, our Savior directs our attention first of all to our Father who is in heaven. Our Father who is no one less than the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. He is the source and sustainer of life. Everything is under his sovereign control. And we add at this time, including that coronavirus. For nothing in all creation is beyond his almighty power. Nothing moves without his will and permission, as we confess it with Lord's Day 10 of our Heidelberg Catechism. And it is then the Almighty Creator whom the Lord Jesus permits us to address as our Father. Our Father who will take care of us, protect us, provide for us. And just as the 10 words of the covenant, the 10 commandments, begins with that significant, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of that land of slavery. Likewise, the Lord's Prayer begins by emphasizing that our help comes from our Father who is in heaven. This address puts our prayer, yes, our whole life, in a glorious perspective. Our prayer is not an expression of some wishful thinking, nor is it an expression of an anxious, beating, restless heart. No, with Father Augustine, we say our hearts are restless until the O Lord rest in you. No, our prayer is and must be an expression of trust. Trust in our Heavenly Father. So in distinction of the world, we look beyond the bread and butter question. Thanks to our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus, namely, has put the question of our daily existence, of our food and drink, of our care and labor in its proper place, in order that we might see our Father's world in a proper perspective. He teaches us with this petition that our life makes sense only when we acknowledge him as our sovereign Lord, who is worthy to receive all honor and glory and power. To do his will, to promote his kingdom, to hallow his name, his great name, that's our purpose here on earth. It is for him that we live. He is the very reason for our existence. And therefore it is to him, the Lord God, creator of heaven and earth, that the Lord Jesus directs our attention. It is to our Father who is in heaven, to the everlasting God who is in control of all things. It is to him that we address our prayers. It is to Yahweh, our covenant God, Adonai, who in times past has taken care of us as people and who in Christ Jesus will do so today. That's guaranteed. It is he then who will provide us with food, clothing and shelter, with everything that we need. 1,001 things. Everything on which our livelihood, our daily need depends. So with this in mind, beloved, let us listen to the fourth petition. Our Father, give us this day our daily bread. And that we then acknowledge, first of all, that he is the fountain of all good. Secondly, that without his blessing, all our work is in vain. And that in him alone, we can place our trust. And so we pray, beloved, give us, Father, this day our daily bread. Give. That is, continue to give us a proper portion for this particular day. It is from you that we expect all what we need in this life. You have created the heavens and the earth, And by your providence, your special care still upholds all things. Nothing comes about by chance. Leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, food and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty. Indeed, all things do not come by chance, but by your fatherly hand. Now, beloved, that sounds familiar, hopefully, because that is also confessed in our catechism in Lord's Day 10. And it is this confession, then, that compels us, as it were, on our knees, and to ask this Almighty God, yes, in Christ our Heavenly Father, to provide for our bodily needs. He is the fountain from which we obtain everything necessary for body and soul. So, brothers, this faith must then penetrate our hearts. This faith we must pursue and confess also in this increasingly secular, worldly world that we live. Louder and louder we hear the cry of the humanist, of the autonomous man, the cry of man who wants to be a law unto himself. He does not want to live by grace, but he wants to live by his own wits, by his own strength. He tears down, he pulls asunder all the relationships as set forth, as willed by our God. The relationship between husband and wife, between parents and children, between relatives and friends. And also downplays in the process the communion of saints, as we know, as members of the church. They do not care about the relationships between employers and employers, other than that they form a class struggle. So they do not recognize what the proper relationship is between employers and employees, between the rich and the poor. The humanist proclaims a world of materialism, a material order outside of which there is no spiritual reality. So he does not reckon with a God who is in heaven. All things beyond man's, behind unbelievers' immediate scope, it's simply denied, doesn't exist. There is only nature, according to him. There is nothing but matter. There is nothing but a material order, a material society. And that's how he comes to preach socialism or communism, a classless society in which the means of production, in which all things in society would be altogether controlled by the state. And we notice that more and more, also in the United States right now, that is that class. And that's how also adversarial unions do not come together to get a better understanding between employer and employee within a given company, no, but to wage a war. The inevitable class struggle, so they say. Now, beloved, that is not what we are taught by the Word of God and by the Lord Jesus in this petition. We are not victims of a material order. For it is the Almighty God, we believe, who is our Father, who is in control. And that's why we go to Him as the fountain of all good. It is to Him that we surrender then all claims of so-called rights, of wants and desires, so that we may learn to live humbly with our God, and asking Him from day to day to prepare and to uphold us so that we may be found worthy stewards in His employ, hardworking people in His service. Whether we be rich or poor, God has a task for us. And together we are united in the one commitment, and it is to promote that heavenly kingdom, that eternal kingdom of our faithful God. Then together, however different we may receive in talents and gifts, we will be committed to use our talents and gifts to the glory of God and for the benefit of each other. So we do not recognize a class struggle. The adversarial opposition between management and labor relations as an undisputed fact of life as Marx, Karl Marx, taught in the 19th century. No, we depend on God and on His revealed will. He has the first and final say in our life, and that is why we make His business our business from day to day. For with this fourth petition, beloved, we acknowledge that without His divine approval, all our work will be in vain. That's our second point. So without His blessing, our life is lived in vain. Then we exist, but then we do not truly live. Then we won't have peace of mind, and we won't find pleasure in our labor. A restless, evil spirit will take a hold of us, urging us on to take care of ourselves and moving us from desire to desire, and we will always be found wanting. And that's how the Lord Jesus teaches us in this petition to look to the Lord God, to address our need and express our thankfulness to Him. He is the sovereign Creator, and He is our faithful God and Father, thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is He then who gives us food and drink, health and labor, so that we could serve Him with all these gifts received out of His fatherly hand. For beloved, if we take so much as a crumb of bread with an attitude of right, as if it is purely our bread, as if we are the sole possessors of the fruits of our labor, the money that we make, then the Lord will convict us as thieves. And before His judgment seat will dispossess us of everything that we once had stolen. Our bread is bread from God. It is bread of grace. And therefore, we must get on our knees and humbly confess that all what we receive from day to day is from the hand of the Lord God. And in so doing, we may be assured that our bread, our care and labor is crowned with His blessing. That's most important. We may be assured of His divine approval when we, with all the gifts received, use them to hallow His name, to promote His kingdom, and to do His will. When we express in word and deed our subservience to Him. Now, beloved, to be sure, our total dependence on God does not neutralize us with a show of inactivity. To the contrary, God brings us through a maze of economical, industrial, and commercial relationships. It's not always easy, you know, sometimes downright difficult, to make ends meet, to fulfill one's obligations. And it seems that the unbeliever is often economically better off, has more success than we, the children and heirs of the kingdom of God. But then, beloved, know then that blessing is not the same as success. To the contrary, success by itself is a most dangerous commodity. And we think here of Psalm 73 of Asaph, who also had some problems to see this around him. The unbelievers seem to have everything going for them, and he, all kinds of problems. No, he understood, and we learned that from Psalm 73, that those who accumulate, gather wealth without expecting the blessing of the Lord, well, that puts them into slippery places. The Lord makes them fall to ruin, and they are destroyed, but in a moment. Success by God's standards, beloved, is one's faithfulness to Him. And that in the little things of every day. Being satisfied with what God has proportioned out to each one of us. Knowing ourselves blessed. For we take everything we have received, be it little or much, in thankful dependence on Him. And with such a humble attitude, beloved, you are to be congratulated. Let us never forget to acknowledge that we do not deserve a thing, that we live by grace alone. And while we recognize this most basic truth, we stand amazed of how richly God has dealt with us. beyond expectation, won't you say? For as members of Christ's church, we realize that we do not deserve a crumb. We are in ourselves, as you know, as we know, selfish, greedy, only out for number one. There is not much pleasing in us in the sight of the holy God. All too often we hang on to our bread, our possessions, as if they are indeed our own. When it comes to sharing, to do good unto all, and especially to the household of faith, then we do not run all that fast, and often given reluctantly with a show even of piety. Basically, we are selfish individuals. Beloved, we are the Lord, not because of our willingness, for we will find wanting. Not because of our generosity. By nature, we do not see our fellow man. No, we are children of God, beloved, because of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. So the bread and butter question finds its answer in him and in him alone. Without Christ, it is a life of strife, sadness, endless wanting. But with Christ, peace, joy, and lasting contentment. Certain that our Father will provide for us, yeah, everything that we need for daily life. And that's how we pray. Give us this day our daily bread. And that's why we trust, beloved, in the third place, that we are urged then to put our trust in him alone. We do not put our trust in princes or in rulers. For one thing is certain, as long as governments, as long as the rulers do not observe the personal relationships as given by God between husband and wife, between parents and children, between brothers and sisters, between even all those at large, the citizens, our fellow citizens at large, by taking over, which they are doing, and eroding the responsibility of individual citizens through the establishment of a welfare state. And as long as they do not acknowledge God as the sovereign ruler in their lives, well, then each measure proposed from out of Ottawa or Washington, and every solution suggested to our countries, our other countries' problems, is not the answer. That's short-sightedness. And such short-sightedness, beloved, such opposition to God and his ordinances will leave this humanistic ruling body of problem solvers in a continuous bind of anxiety. So, beloved of the Lord, let us withdraw our trust from man-made solutions. Let us not look to man to answer the question as to our daily existence. Never should we put our trust in the princes of this world. They are but mortal men, or as we read, like grasshoppers, here today and gone tomorrow. But instead, let us draw near to God, placing our trust in him and in him alone. He, our faithful Father in Christ, will surely take care of us, his adopted children. He has done so in times gone by, and he will do so in times to come. And when things do become hard, and hard they will become as we near the day of our Savior's return from heaven, as we also learn from Matthew 24 and other parts of Scripture, do thou not despair, but know that your life is secure in your Father's hand. Do not be anxious for tomorrow, our Savior tells us. For your tomorrow, if God so requires it, will be taken care of by him. That's guaranteed. Therefore, trust in God. Let us always go to him in prayer with a childlike trust. Let ourselves be permeated by his love and care. For in Christ Jesus, his promises are yes and amen. When we see the fourth petition in this light, well, then our bread will never become an end in itself. It will never become more than a means given by God to become and to continue to be a useful instrument, a faithful steward in his hand. in our Father's great program of world renewal. World renewal in Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Let us then seek our Father's kingdom and his righteousness, and always ready to make his business our business. For only then are we assured that our service so dedicated to him will meet his divine approval, will get a divine stamp, and will receive his indispensable blessing. And only then we will have a good living to the glory of God and thanksgiving to our Savior and for the well-being of our neighbor, and first of all, the members of the household with which we are united. Amen. So let us now sing in response hymn 61.